And he sought it in some admonition. And then here again, he ends up commending them again. And that makes admonition easy to receive. It makes you, it seem reasonable because you heard it in light of the gospel. And it is how Christ constrains our heart. If I stood up here and just preached to you your sins and sat down, that would be law. It's no different when we're dealing with one another one-on-one. You come in, you declare the comfort of the gospel, soft in the admonition, and end with commending. That's a very wise way of doing that. But my subject this morning is the minister of Jesus Christ. What is a minister? The minister is not the one seated at the table being served. The minister is the one doing the serving. That's what a minister is, a servant. None are apostles today, and not all are preachers, but all God's believing children are ministers of Christ. We all are. We're all servants of our Lord, sent to serve one another. Paul told the Galatians, "Brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Minister to one another. Every believer is a minister. Wherever Christ has planted us in our sphere of influence, we're a minister to those people around us, a servant to those people around us. Now, how are we servants and why? Well, let's read what Paul says here in the rest of our text. First of all, it's by God's grace. He says in verse 15, "Grace is given to me of God that I should be the minister." Then secondly, whose minister are we? We're the minister of Jesus Christ. He was the minister to the Gentiles. We're ministers to all God's people, Jew or Gentile. How do we serve? What do we serve with? Verse 16, ministering the gospel of God. That's what we serve with, the gospel of God. Verse 4, here's the purpose. Verse 16, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And then fifthly, who gets the glory? Verse 17, I have therefore whereof I may glory. And he's saying only in or through Jesus Christ. In those things which pertain to God. I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about into Illyricum, I fully preach the gospel of Christ. I want to look at these five divisions. First of all, we're made ministers by God's grace. God's people are made ministers by God's grace. He says in verse 15, "Grace that is given to me of God that I should be the minister." Every believer is what he is by the grace of God. It's by God's unmerited, even demerited, favor. We didn't merit it, we demerited it. And yet God had favor on us. Paul is like every true child of God. He was what he was by God's grace. And this grace was given to us before we were ever even born. He said in Galatians 1:15, "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb." That means he separated me before I was ever born. "And then he called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen." And immediately Paul said, "I did not confer with flesh and blood." We're separated by God in divine election. Chosen, separated by God in divine election, and then each one he separated, he calls in time. And that's all by grace. Jeremiah 1:4, "The word of the Lord came unto me saying," this is what God said to Jeremiah, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I separated you. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So like Paul and like Jeremiah, brethren, before we were ever born, God had grace upon his people, sanctified his people, separated us in divine election. He ordained we would be his servants. And then in time, he called us by the same grace and made us his servants. It's all of grace. It's not by our worth or our works. Romans 11:6, look back there. It says, if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. He's saying it can't be a mixture. Either our election and our calling was of grace, or it's of works. It can't be a mixture. And God says it's all of grace. The verse right before that says there's a remnant according to the election of grace. It's by grace. Everything Paul was, every gift he possessed, everything he did in his ministry was by the grace of God. He said, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. And he said, and unto every one of us that's been called, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So, brethren, our election, our regeneration, our conversion, our justification, our redemption, our sanctification, faith, love, gifts, deeds, everything is by God's grace, by the power of his grace. Now, secondly, whose minister are we? Paul says there in verse 16 that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Now, Paul was especially made a minister to the Gentiles. You and I here today, I was made a minister to this church in Ewing, New Jersey. You and I collectively are ministers to God's people, Jew and Gentile. And ministers to sinners that don't even know him yet. We minister to them hoping God will call them by his grace. But we're servants to one another. And when he says here, of Christ, ministers of Christ, there's a couple of things that's meant here, at least two things. Paul was a minister of Christ in the sense that he was made and sent by Christ. And so are you and I. Concerning pastors, the Lord said in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Paul hated Christians. When he was Saul of Tarsus, he hated Christians. But Christ arrested him on the road to Damascus and revealed himself in him. And when he did, he called him and sent him to be his minister. He sent him. And if you and I are servants of Christ, it's because Christ did that for us. Secondly, the minister of Christ means Paul was Christ's personal minister, doing Christ's bidding. That's what we are, brethren. We're Christ's personal servant, his personal minister to minister to his brethren. You remember Ananias, he was afraid to go talk to Paul because he had heard about Paul. He knew Paul was killing believers. And so when the Lord told him to go preach the gospel to him, Ananias was afraid to go. He said, I've heard of this man. And listen to what the Lord said to him. He said, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Brethren, that gives a whole new meaning to us being servants of our Lord Jesus when you think we're chosen vessels unto him. We're sent to bear His name. We're sent to suffer for His name's sake. That's true of me and you and everyone who's been called. We're not our own anymore. We've been bought with the price of Christ's precious blood. Paul said, "You're bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Be the servant of Christ." That's how Paul introduced himself in Timothy to the church at Philippi. He said, "Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ." Now, thirdly, how do we serve? How do we minister to one another? Paul says in verse 16, ministering the gospel of God. That's how we serve. That's the bread. That's the food with which we serve one another. Christ's minister serves the gospel of God. There's only one. There's only one gospel. We serve needy sinners by preaching the gospel of God, which is Christ and Him crucified. God's the author of the gospel. It's His gospel because He's the author of it. In the beginning, God. He originated the gospel. He purposed it. He ordained everything involved in the gospel. He's the author of the gospel. Paul said to the Galatians, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." It's God's gospel. And then God's the subject of it. The message we preach, we're not preaching man, except to say he's a sinner, ruined. We're preaching God. He's the subject of it. His character. We preach God's holy and sovereign. He's just. He's merciful. He will by no means clear the guilty. We preach the character of God. We have to deal with a holy God. He doesn't wink at sin. He's not going to clear guilty sinners. We must die. But He's merciful and long-suffering and good. That's the character of our God. And we preach His works. That's the subject of the gospel. Nope, we're not trying to preach man's work. What you hear in religion, false religion, is man's works. They're all the time telling you what to do, and basically it's just how to make your life as good as it can be in this world. That's not the gospel. The gospel is concerning the works of God. That's the gospel. God the Father willed salvation and purposed salvation. He chose whom He would save. He chose Christ who would be the Savior. The Son of God is the one who came forth and performed it. He's the one who fulfilled the law and made His people righteous by laying down His life. And God the Holy Spirit applies it and keeps it applied and keeps His people through the power of the Spirit of God. Salvation is of the Lord means all the works in our salvation is of the Lord. And then God in Christ is the object we preach. Christ Jesus, that man who walked this earth, is the fullness of the Godhead in a body. When you see the Lord Jesus Christ, you see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're three persons, but it's just one God manifest in the man Christ Jesus. If God hadn't come in human flesh, we wouldn't be able to see Him. But He did. He came in human flesh, and that one we preach. The object of our preaching, the object to whom we bow, is Christ Jesus, who is God in three persons. The man Christ Jesus. The same followed Paul and us. These men followed Paul and the preachers, and they were crying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." What is that? What's the object? What's the way? Christ said, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So the object we preach is Christ. We're urging sinners to come to Christ, to lay down all your works, all your so-called worth and merit and anything you trust in, and come to Christ. He's the object we preach. Romans 1:1 tells us clearly who the gospel is. In Romans 1:1, he says, I'm Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And he tells us what that is, which God had promised afore by his prophets in all the Holy Scriptures. So everything you read in the Old Testament, just like everything you read in the New Testament, is the gospel. And what is it? Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. I don't care what man says that's true. I don't care how it tickles your ears. I don't care how it makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside. If it's not Christ and what he accomplished for his particular people and how he's calling them out and saving and shall lose none, you haven't heard the gospel. Paul said, I marvel you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now listen to what he said about it, which is not another. There's only one. And this is how serious he is about it. He said, but those that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, he says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we've preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's serious. There's just one gospel. So each of us that Christ has made a minister, what we're ministering to one another has to be Christ and him crucified, the gospel. If we haven't done that, I don't care what our purpose is in ministering to one another, if we haven't declared Christ to one another, we hadn't ministered to one another. What if Paul would have written this letter and he'd written nothing in there but just, it's your reasonable service to give your bodies a living sacrifice. What if he had just written, don't judge one another, receive one another without doubting. But he hadn't declared everything else he declared. It wouldn't be the gospel. It would just be some do's and don'ts. It would be laws, what it would be. See, we have to minister Christ when we minister to one another. Always. In every situation. And fourthly, what was Paul's purpose in ministering the gospel? Why do we minister the gospel? What's the purpose of preaching Christ and crucified? What's God doing through this message? Verse 16, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul's referring to the Old Testament meat offering. That's what we've been looking at in Exodus 30, if you've been hearing those messages. We've been dealing with the meat offering. It's a thank offering where God gets all the praise and all the glory. And he's referring to that Old Testament offering. Through the gospel, the Holy Spirit of God sanctifies each one that God chose, each one that Christ redeemed. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us with the blood of Christ. Purges our conscience through the preaching of this gospel. Gives a new spirit, a new heart within us. And as soon as those priests were sanctified and consecrated in the old covenant, what did they do? They gave a thank offering to God. They offered up a thank offering. They praised God. They gave God all the glory for the work. Well, instead of offering up a sacrifice, the believer is himself the thank offering. That one to whom the gospel has been preached, that one whom the Spirit of God has made holy and righteous through faith in Christ, you are yourself the thank offering to God. That's why Paul said in Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service, holy and acceptable to God. See, this thing's not about me sitting up here trying to get you to accept God. That's not the issue. The issue is, will God accept you? That's the issue. And he only going to accept you if you've been sanctified by the Spirit of God, a holy new man created in you, Christ formed in you, so that you're united with Him experimentally through faith, so that you come to God one way in Christ. When you do that, you have yourself been made a holy, acceptable offering to God. In Christ the offering. It's the only way. Here's one of God's elect Jews. Go to Zephaniah 3. I'll give you a little time to find it. Zephaniah chapter 3. Now I want you to think of this. Here's Paul. He's a Jew. And he's sent forth and he's preaching the gospel to these Gentiles. And through the Spirit of God, God gives them faith and He brings them to believe on Christ. Now listen to this. Zephaniah 3:8. God says, this is a prophecy. And God said this would be fulfilled. And that's what Paul said. Paul said, God sent me forth to fulfill this prophecy. Now, well, listen to what God said. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. Christ is risen. He's talking about that day I rise, I'm going to do this right here. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy, God said. This is Christ speaking. But now watch this. There's a people He's going to be merciful to. For then will I turn to the people a pure language. This is what He does to His elect. He turns to you a pure language. Adolf Safar was a Jewish theologian, and he said, the language of the Scripture is not Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic. The language of the Scripture is love. And God has to make you understand this language. He has to make you understand this pure language of God. He says, I'll give them this pure language that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. He said, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. That means from the remotest parts of the world, beyond just this little border in Israel. God said, I got an elect people scattered in the four corners of the world. And He said, and my suppliants, even the daughters of my dispersed. He said, folks that's been like Paul, that's been converted and made to supplicate God for mercy. He said, I'm going to use them to go forth and preach the gospel. My dispersed, my Jewish elect people, I'm going to send them forth to the Gentiles. And what's going to be the result? They shall bring my offering. Paul says the Gentiles been sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the meat offering. That's the thank offering. That's the offering that God's referring to. He's saying men like Paul will go forth and preach my gospel. And through the Spirit of God, I'll sanctify them. And they'll come and they themselves will be my offering. And the offering they offer will be thanksgiving and glory to God. That's a prophecy. That means there's no way it won't be fulfilled. God's going to fulfill that through the preaching of the gospel. Go to Isaiah 66. I'll show you another place. Isaiah 66. He says in verse 19, Isaiah 66:9, I will set a sign among them. I will send those that escape of them unto the nations. Paul was one who had escaped the condemnation of the Jews. He said, I'm going to send them to Tarshish and Pul and Lud that draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan, to the isles, to the Gentiles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. They'll preach my gospel. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and litters and mules and upon swift beasts, they'll bring them to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord. They bring them to Christ seated at God's right hand in heavenly Jerusalem. And it says, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. He said, just that's what I was picturing by them. Remember in our text in Exodus how they brought all that bread, they brought it in a basket. That was a clean vessel that God commanded they bring the bread in. And you remember what the bread was used for? After He consecrated them and sanctified them, they offered that bread to God with the blood of a lamb, a meat offering, to say, thank you, God, for saving my soul. God said, my preacher's going to bring them, and they're going to be an offering unto me. So, brethren, this shows us Paul knew what those Old Testament pictures pictured. He knew what they were. He knew what that law pictured. This is what we've been looking at in Exodus. But here's what it also tells us. Christ has sent us forth as servants. And you think about this. He's going to use you, who He's made a clean vessel through the sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth. He's going to use you to proclaim this gospel. And though there's no power in you, there's no ability in you, by His power, He's going to bless that word in the heart of His child, His elect, His lost sheep, and sanctify them, make them holy and acceptable to God, and draw them to Christ, and they're going to be an offering to the Lord. And is it not amazing that He would use a sinner like me and a sinner like you to do such an amazing work? That's why we've been made servants unto our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He's doing with us. I think sometimes we get in a situation where we could speak of the gospel, and we don't, because for so many times that we have, people just get mad at you. And I've been there. You try to teach somebody the gospel, and they get angry and upset. That's usually what happens. But remember this too, as a preacher, my charge that I'm sent for is not a success based on how many receives it. My charge is just to preach the truth. That's what makes a preacher a success, if he declares the truth. The results are up to God. He may just harden everybody that hears it, but his pastor did what he was sent to do. And you and I aren't sent just to declare the truth. And we've only been a success if somebody received it. He just says, speak what I've told you. But we're so prone to think God's not going to do anything with it. I've seen what happened so many times. But we ought to have the attitude, He just might. He just might. He might bless that word and save a sinner. Wouldn't that be amazing? Now, that's what He's made us servants for. I tell you this, you come to the table and you sit down at the table to eat, you're certainly not going to eat and be fed if nobody's putting bread on the table. You might be sick and not be having appetite or anything else, and somebody might say, well, they're not going to eat if I cook it. Well, you're certainly not going to eat anything if there's not any bread on the table. But you put the bread on the table and leave it to God to bless it. That's what we're set for. Now, lastly, let's look at this. Who gets the glory? When God does this work, who gets the glory? Who gets the glory for making us a minister? Who gets the glory for sending us? Who gets the glory for making the word effectual? Who gets the glory for saving His people? Paul says, verse 17, I have thereof whereof I may glory. Now, that sounds like Paul saying, I'm going to glory. But he's saying, I am going to glory. But I'm glorying in Christ. That's who I'm glorying in. Look, I have whereof I may glory through or in Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me. He said, I'm not going to say I did any of this. Christ did it all. He made the Gentiles obedient by word and by deed. Christ did this. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. The mighty signs and wonders was not just those miracles they worked. The mighty signs and wonders was when the power of the Spirit of God made people fall down and believe on Christ. That's the mighty sign and wonder. And that's by the power of the Spirit of God. So that, Paul says, by that same power of God, from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. He said all of this, and you and I that's been called and saved by Christ, we give all the glory to God. This is really the difference you're going to find between a true sanctified child of God and one who is a pretender. Now, everybody's going to say, to God be the glory. Everybody's going to say, God gets all the glory. But listen to them preach. What do they preach? What do they say? If ultimately the thing that made the difference was that they believed on Christ, they're glorying in themselves. They're saying they made the difference. We're saying God made the difference. Paul said, I will have whereof I may glory, but only in and through Christ. I won't dare speak of anything Christ has not wrought. The mighty signs and wonders were by the Holy Spirit of God, by His power. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He said in Colossians 1:29, I labor striving according to His working which worketh in me mightily. So God's people are going to give Him all the glory. Paul said in the Corinthians, he said, we have no sufficiency in ourselves. We don't. Our sufficiency is of God. He made us able ministers, able servants of the new covenant. He did that. We didn't do it. He did it. And He's the one by whose power we go forth. If you have the boldness to kindly declare the truth to somebody, that wasn't any strength in you that made you do that. It was the power of God. Because otherwise, you hold your tongue and move on. It's Him that does it. And He gets all the glory. So, brethren, I pray that by God's grace, we hear this word from Christ. Remember when He spoke to Paul at Corinth? He said, be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace, for I'm with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And Paul continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And Christ called out His people. Let's remember that as servants of Christ. All right, brethren, let's stand together. Our great God and Father, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the houses represented here, for each believer here. Lord, we pray Your grace be upon each house, that Your mercy and truth would reign supreme. Lord, make each one submissive to the other. Make each one overlook one another's sins and be merciful and gracious to one another. Whenever we stumble, when we fall, when we act like an unbeliever, cause the others to be servants, to minister and to help and to remind each other of Christ and Him crucified. Make us true servants, ministers of Christ. We ask this, Lord, that You would get all the glory, that Your people would be called out, that they would be edified, that they would be strengthened by Your power, by Your Spirit, by Your grace. Forgive us now, Lord, our sins. Forgive us for being unfaithful servants. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.